Our subject today is the doctrine of perseverance. It's a truth that has been opposed throughout all the ages. In fact, you could say it's the one doctrine that is opposed the most of all doctrines. But I believe perhaps the reason why it is opposed is because it has been so misrepresented. Men have given their views instead of scriptural views. So today, let us look to the scriptures to gain understanding what the Bible says about the doctrine of perseverance. Our scripture for this is found in John chapter 10, the Gospel of John chapter 10, and we can read verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, this is our foundational scripture. And in this study, we will look at, God willing, four topics. And that is what the doctrine of perseverance means. And then number two, we will look at the scriptural foundation of the doctrine on which this doctrine is built. And then number three, some of the reasons why people reject this doctrine. And then finally, number four, we will mention some reason why this doctrine is so important. So let's begin. What do I mean by the doctrine of perseverance? What does the Bible mean by the doctrine of perseverance? And when we speak of the doctrine of perseverance, this is what we mean. The Bible teaches that true believers, real, genuine Christians, shall preserve in their faith to the end of their lives. They shall never perish. They shall never be lost. They shall never be cast away. Once in Christ, they shall always be in Christ. Once made children of God by the adoption of grace, they shall never cease to be his children and become children of the devil. Once endured with the grace of the Spirit, that grace will never be taken from them. Once pardoned and forgiven, they shall never be deprived of their pardon and forgiveness. Once joined to Christ by a living faith, their union shall never be broken off. Once called by God into the narrow way which leads to life, they shall never depart from that narrow way. They shall never fall into hell. Every man and every woman on earth that receives saving grace, sooner or later, shall arrive in eternal glory. Every soul once justified and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ shall at length be found safe at Christ's right hand. Now, these statements sound tremendously strong, and they are argued much in the circles of theologians. But I'm not going to leave the subject here. I desire to clear up the cloud that surrounds this doctrine and the misrepresentation that surrounds this doctrine and darkens this doctrine. And what we want to see today is what the truth is, what the Word of God says, not portrayed by men who are ignorant and have prejudices. We want to see what is set forth in the Scripture, in the Holy Word of God. let me just say a few things. Number one is perseverance. This doctrine of perseverance is a doctrine that the worldly and the unsaved people have nothing to do with. It's not their doctrine. They cannot receive it. It doesn't belong to the vast multitude of people who have no knowledge of God, no thought of God, no faith, no fear of God. The only thing they know about God is his name. But it's not for them. They are not the ones that will never perish. On the contrary, unless those ones repent, they shall end up in a lost eternity. Perseverance is a privilege for only real Christians, truly born again ones. It belongs to the sheep of Christ who hear his voice and follow him, John 10:27. It belongs to those who are washed and justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. It belongs to all who repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And those that live holy lives, those that have been born again, those that have been converted, those who are new creations in Christ Jesus, made new by the Holy Ghost, to them belongs this doctrine. Let me labor it a little longer. It belongs to those who are broken and contrite in spirit, contrite in heart and mind, and those who bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. It belongs to the elect who cry to him night and day. Now that word cry, it comes from the verb to shout for help. Those who, in other words, pray night and day. That is a sign that they are truly born again. It belongs to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ by personal experience and have faith and have hope and have love in their hearts. They are fruit-bearing branches of the vine. They are connected to the vine. And because they are connected, they produce fruit. They are like the wise virgins. Their lamps are burning brightly. They are the light of the world. They are the salt of the earth. They are heirs of the kingdom of God. They are followers of the Lamb of God. These are the ones to whom the doctrine belongs. Not the sinners, not the hypocrite. The doctrine belongs to those the Bible calls saints. The saints are alone to whom this is written for. Only the saints are the ones that can say that they will never perish. Now, many people say, oh, the saints, but I'm just an ordinary believer. I'm not a spiritual giant. I'm not like the apostles of old or the prophets of old. I'm not like the martyrs that gave their lives for Jesus Christ. But this doctrine is not for only those high people. If we think that, we're mistaken. The privilege of perseverance belongs to the whole family of God, even the little children, the youngest as well as the oldest, the weakest as well as the strongest, the babes in grace as well as the oldest and strongest pillars in the church, the least of faith and the greatest of faith shall certainly continue to the end. Although their faith may be very feeble, very weak, your grace that you have. You say, oh, I have so little grace. I'm so weak. Our strength may be very small. We may feel that in spiritual things, we're just as a little child. Some may even doubt the reality of their conversion. Yet fear not, neither be afraid. It is not dependent on the quantity and quality of man's grace, but on the truth and genuineness of God's promise. Our salvation is dependent on God's promise. He has chosen us. I want to read a few lines from the London Baptist Confession of 1689. Words are, I won't read them exactly, I'll just paraphrase it. It was on no free will of their own that the saints' perseverance depends, but on the immutability, that means the fact that is fixed. There is a fixed fact, and that fact is the decree of election, that God has chosen you. That is what it depends upon, which in turn depends on the unchangeable love of God the Father. The effectiveness of his intercession. He ever liveth and is interceding at the right hand of God. On the effectiveness of his prayers, it is dependent. And on the oath of God and the abiding character of the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's what I can be absolutely sure that I'm saved. It's nothing to do with what I have done. It is to do with what he has done and what he is doing. He is faithful to the end. And all these factors guarantee the certainty and infallibility of the saints' perseverance, that he will present us faultless before the Father. There are some things that need to be said about perseverance, this doctrine of perseverance, things to which we must give special attention. And let me mention a few of them and clear these difficulties and throw some light on some points so that we can have a greater understanding, a richer understanding. Remember, when I say believers shall persevere to the end, I do not for a moment say that believers shall not fall into sin. Remember this point. When we say that believers will persevere to the very end, we are not saying that believers will never sin or never fall into sin. They may fall sadly or shamefully and cause great scandal to the true Christians. They may injure their families. They may end up with bitter sorrow themselves. For example, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He denied the Lord with an oath. The apostles all forsook God or Jesus Christ in the garden. The account of Paul and Barnabas, they had a sharp argument, contention between them, and they had to part company. All of these are Bible proofs that Christians can fall. But believers shall never fall finally and completely. This is one very important point. The believer shall never fall finally and completely. They shall always rise again from their falls by repentance and renewing their walk. Though greatly humbled and cast down, they never lose their salvation. They may lose their comfort, but they will not lose their salvation. They may be like trees in the winter, or the trees in the drought that have no leaves on them, but they still have roots. And when the rain comes, they will get leaves again. They may be overtaken by fault and carried away by temptation, but they will never perish. Remember one thing, when I say that believers will persevere to the end, I don't mean that believers shall never have any doubt, or I don't mean that they shall never fear their own safety. This is far from the case. Even the holiest men of God sometimes were deeply troubled. King David was a holy man. He was deeply troubled many times. We see much weakness in holy men of God, and we see weakness in our own hearts. And we all fall short and do those things that we do not want to do. We fall short of our desires. We are so tempted, we are strongly tempted to doubt the truth and question the truth. And even sometimes ourselves, we have the thought, I'm such a hypocrite. I say one thing and I do another thing. I'll never reach heaven. But that's not true. To be safe is one thing. Why are we safe? We are safe for one reason and one reason only, because of the promise of God. We are safe because He said He would cleanse us and forgive us and wash our sins away. He promises that He will never discard a bruised reed, a smoldering flax. He will never snuff out. It's not dependent on how we feel. It's dependent on His faithfulness and His promises and that which He has done for us. Full assurance of hope is not necessary for salvation. A full confidence that I'm just so well is not 100% necessary. In other words, the absence of hope is no argument that you will not persevere to the end. You shall persevere to the end. Now, in the last place, remember, the certain perseverance of the believers does not free them or exempt them from the necessity of watching and praying, of Bible reading, of fellowship with other believers. It's only the believer, only the true born-again one that will persevere to the end. If somebody has no appetite whatsoever to pray, to read, to fellowship with other believers, has no love for the Lord, then we may question, are they truly born again? Are they truly the Lord's? And if there's no love in their hearts, if there's no desire for prayer, if there's no desire to read and feed upon the Word of God, then we have to ask ourselves, are they truly the Lord's? Do they truly love the Lord? Or are they just professors only, word only, but their hearts have not been changed? These ones who are professors only shall not endure to the end. They are not truly born again. They that persevere to the end are not dependent. Now, this is a very important point. They that persevere to the end are not dependent on all these doings. So, in other words, if I don't read two chapters a day, it doesn't mean that I'm backslidden. I'm still the Lord's. Their final salvation does not hang on the obedience to practical doings. Our salvation does not hang upon reading and watching and praying and fellowship and being encouraged. Yet, at the same time, doing these things will always give the believer strength and the strength that he needs to continue to the end. It is the diligent, and it is the watchful, and it is the prayerful, and it is the humble to whom this promise belongs to. They shall never perish. But I'm not earning my salvation by doing those things. Now I want to proceed to point number two, to show the scriptural foundation for this doctrine, the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. And I hardly need to say to you that it must be built on the Bible. The only test that settles anything, is it in the scripture? Is it in the word of God? Now, in John 10 and verse 28, the Lord says, "And I give unto them eternal life." Eternal life. "And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give them eternal life." He will certainly give this eternal life as if they already had it. The words imply that they have eternal life already, namely the beginnings of eternal life. It will be completed when we meet him face to face. But we have eternal life already, the beginnings of eternal life. And the one who promised this eternal life, "I give them eternal life," this is the doctrine of perseverance. How can the life that God gives us be called eternal life if that life could be ended? How could God give us eternal life if we could just say, "Well, one day I'm going to lose that eternal life"? No. How shall they never perish if one day maybe we will perish? It's impossible. "Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." That's a promise from the Lord. And this promise is reinforced by many other scriptures. "I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The good work that I've begun in you, I will bring it to completion." So God has promised, and he's not a man that he should lie. He does not change his word. His word is settled forever in heaven. This, our salvation, is settled. Oh, what a comfort that is to us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." We shall never fall away. We shall never fall away. I'm just reminded of in John's Gospel, John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? The doctrine of perseverance. You shall never die. You shall have eternal life. This is because of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. This doctrine of perseverance. We shall never fall away because we are chosen. We are chosen from the foundation of the world. The Holy Spirit has not only opened our eyes to accept Christ, but he has given us grace to persevere to the end. To the end. We shall never fall away because Christ has paid the price in full. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. The Bible speaks of living water that is given to drink so that we shall never thirst. We shall never thirst. How can God give us water that one day is going to fail and one day we will thirst? Impossible. The Bible says we shall never thirst. The water is likened to grace that is freely given in our hearts. Nothing else but the grace of eternal life can satisfy and cause man to never thirst again. We could spend hours on showing the scriptures. In fact, in my notes here, I've listed 39 clear proofs that this doctrine is scriptural. You can get a copy of the notes and look up the scriptures yourself. But let's move on to the third point, to point out the reasons why so many people reject this doctrine of perseverance. Their argument is, well, this doctrine of perseverance has the tendency to encourage carelessness and ungodly living. So if you're saved and can't lose your salvation, the wrong teaching is that you will just live however you please. Because you're saved and you're going to heaven, you can do whatever you like. But that's not what the doctrine is saying. A person that deliberately lives an unholy and a sinful life and boasts that they are a good Christian and says that they shall never perish, I tell you clearly and plainly that they have never truly been born again. They have never truly been born again. And as long as the life is unchanged, they are still on the broad way to hell and destruction. The doctrine is for those who are born again, who are true Christians. People say, I don't like that doctrine because it is Calvinistic, and I don't agree with Calvinistic doctrines. It's narrow-mindedness. I don't like it. And we should know and see what the Bible says on a matter, not the title that somebody gives the doctrine. We should know for ourselves, what is the scripture saying? And we should base it on the scripture, not on the name that man has given it, Calvinistic. And people throw out the doctrine of the perseverance of saints simply because they say it is Calvinistic. But it is not Calvinistic. Let me say it like this. What is the essence of Calvinism anyway? It is simply this. Salvation is of the Lord. It is Jesus Christ is the rock on which I build my life. That's scriptural. So if we throw out the doctrine, we have to be careful that we're not throwing out scriptural truth. Just because we don't like the name, let's see what that doctrine is based on. A new point. The many that call themselves true Christians, genuine Christians, they don't have a stomach to bear any strong food. They have no appetite or no spiritual digestion. They are so weak, they must always be fed with milk. They don't want strong meat. If you talk strongly about holiness, they say, you're just a legalist. Why do I have to listen to you? If you speak strongly on election, they say you're a narrow-minded Calvinist. If you talk strongly about the believer's responsibility and free agency, they say you're an Arminian. They can bear nothing strong in any direction. Just give them milk. Don't tell them anything that's too heavy. And of course, they can never receive the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Many people don't approve of this doctrine because it draws distinctions. And they don't like that. Distinctions between people, distinctions between churches. And they argue and they say, that's not love. That's not right. And they think it's wrong to say one man is converted and he's not converted. They don't want to say that. They don't want to say that one's a child of God and that one's a child of the devil. No, they don't want to make distinctions. They don't want to say he's a sinner and he's a saint. They have the thinking, these weak people, that we can't be sure. God knows we can't be sure. We have to just accept everybody the way they are and hope for the best. You never know. Maybe they will be saved in the end. They oppose the thought. They hate the thought that one man can be chosen and one man is not chosen. This kind of teaching to them is unacceptable. They cannot understand that one can be predestined and another cannot. Let me just quote one scripture. I don't want to defend the whole doctrine of predestination and election, but let's just look at one scripture, and any sensible person will be able to clearly see what the Word of God is saying. John chapter 15 and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Can you get more clear? I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. So God saves. God calls. God redeems. Jesus Christ paid the price. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. These that can't agree with the doctrine, they have all sorts of sayings. And all sorts of arguments, clever arguments. And they have a wrong view of what it is to be saved. For example, if somebody carries a Bible around and enjoys reading their Bible, they say, you see, he's saved. If somebody likes listening to preaching and they find pleasure in listening to preaching, they call that one saved. But when that one is no longer interested to hear the gospel, when that one no longer finds it interesting to read their Bible, they say, you see, the doctrine of perseverance is not true because he has fallen away. He's gone now. But the truth of the matter is this, that they cannot explain when that person's feelings disappear. They can't explain it. They can't explain it. And the only explanation that they can give is to say that they've backslidden, they've fallen away, and the doctrine of perseverance is not true. But we must understand that true saving faith is much deeper than just feelings. Saving faith shows itself by deliberate, willing, and humble dependence upon God. That's how we see if somebody is a believer, truly born again. Those who make faith a matter of feelings cannot believe in the doctrine of perseverance. It's not to do with feelings. It's to do with the promise, the eternal promises of God. The need in our day, and this not only our day, but this was the need 100 years ago for Christians to be sound in faith and be armed with a clear knowledge of the gospel, what it is to be saved. The error of the day is that we will accept anyone who is earnest-minded, who is zealous, and appears to be right, irrespective of the doctrine that they believe. Irrespective of the doctrine, as long as they've got zeal, as long as they're sincere, yes, they're saved. In today's age, it's a sure indication we are giving in to the times in which we live, when our opinion of salvation is vague and clouded and mystical and contains no hope and no positive motive, brings no comfort. It's a belief that will fail in the end. We have to be based upon the Word of God. I want to leave it there and go to the final point. The last point is to mention some of the reasons why this doctrine of perseverance is so important. What comfort does this doctrine give? It's a rich doctrine of comfort to know that I'm a child of God, that I cannot be snatched away. He will keep me in His hands, and He will present me faultless before the Father. The gospel wouldn't be grand if it could fail. The gospel is grand because it can never fail. The gospel is glad tidings. The gospel is good news. If this year somebody could be a child of God, and next year he fall away and become a child of the devil, the gospel wouldn't be very powerful, wouldn't be very grand. There are two ways that a sinner can be addressed. There are two ways, two doctrines in essence. Let me just outline them and read the points to you. Number one is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And once you believe, you shall never perish. Your faith shall never be allowed to entirely fail you. You shall be sealed by the Holy Spirit and to the day of redemption. That's doctrine number one. And then doctrine number two, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But after you have believed, be very careful that you do not fall away. You might fall away. Take care that you do not repel the Spirit. Take care in the end that you do not perish everlastingly. Which of these two doctrines contains the most good news? Well, of course, I can say without even thinking about it too deeply, the first doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, that once saved, he shall keep us faithfully until that day when he shall present us before the Father. It's the difference between, this was actually written by our author J.C. Ryle, it's the difference between twilight and midday, between winter and summer. The good news, the Holy Spirit leads me to Christ and gives me repentance and faith in Him. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Does this not cause solid hope and comfort to our hearts? Our feet are on the rock. Our soul is safe in His hands. It's a knowing that I shall get home. On the other hand, the other doctrine, that after believing, after being led to Christ, I'm left on my own, to my own vigilance. It depends on my watching, on my praying, on my care, whether the Spirit stays with me or leaves me. With such a faith, our hearts melt. We are standing on quicksand. It's not the rock. We lean on a broken reed, and we shall never get to heaven. How many are afraid to begin this walk of walking with the Lord because they say, what if I fail? Which of the two doctrines will give courage to those weak who are afraid to come to Christ? The doctrine of perseverance, the knowing that God has begun a good work in us and He will bring it to completion, that He will love us to the end. This is the strong comfort to realize our safety in Christ. Yes, trials will come, and our crosses may be very heavy to bear, and storms may come, but storms only serve to blow us closer to heaven. Our Lord Jesus Christ never gets tired of caring for our souls. Once in Christ, we shall never be forsaken. God's loving kindness will never depart. This is one of the most comforting doctrines. Is there anything else that offers this level of comfort to the believer? Amen.